Praise the Lord. Well, how are you doing? You're not acting too friendly. This is Mother's Day. You just kind of expect a little bit of joy in the house of God. I'm glad to be here, and I'm not going to let you rob me of my joy. So I just hope you just go ahead and get on board. I'm not intimidated too easily. Can be, but it's not very easy. I found out that Jesus is quite fond of me, and that while it's nice to have everybody else's acceptance, my life is not dependent on it, and I've just been radically dangerous ever since. So I just hope you just go ahead and kind of help me out here this morning and get dialed in, and we'll have a much better time, and you'll enjoy it, and you'll look better. Nothing I do today I think is going to be any better than what I was at yesterday. I went to Brad and Mamie Burdick's 50th wedding anniversary. It was stunning, to say the least, and I so appreciated Brad when he got up and gave the testimony of his life, and I saw the power of testimony, and was just so grateful to be there. And I'm reminded of some men, and I'm talking about real men, kingdom men, that I want to be a part of what we're trying to do in a men's ministry here. And David Andre, who is a member of our church in his 80s, and an absolute war hero of World War II, if you read the books on it, you will read his name, is giving his testimony this Thursday night at 7 p.m. at the Chelsea. And I'm planning to be there, and I hope you are. Danny Booker is over our ministry to men, and I pray that you will contact him either by phone or email, and you will find that address in the bulletin, and plan to be there this Thursday night at 7 o'clock at the Chelsea. Well, happy Mother's Day, mothers. Can I get a kind of an affirming response back from you? This is your day, and this is our day, so we won't worry about the disgruntled man. How about that? I want to address an issue that's on my heart. It's been burdened for quite a while, and I've just been looking for an excuse to preach it. Jay Cook will kill me because it's not the notes you have in your notes. I wanted to stick with my series, but God started messing with me and wouldn't let me, so he moved me to what I'm going to speak on. It's more appropriate to Mother's Day, and you'll find that text of consideration in Ephesians chapter 6, the first three verses. Children and youth just love these passages, and the only one that loves it more is me, who gets to preach it. I'll ask you to stand in honor of the Word of God as we read Ephesians chapter 6, the first three verses. The Bible reads as follows: Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Father, in the name of Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I'm completely at your disposal. I am dispensable. Use me for your glory, or move me out and bring someone else here to be used for your glory. It's all about you, and I really mean it's all about you, and it's only about us in that it's about you. As you move upon us in revelatory power and in the Holy Spirit, I pray that you will give me the communicable abilities that are necessary. I trust that every time I stand behind this sacred desk. And I pray the powers that are necessary, inherent and innately in the born-again ones here, will receive this word. And that is our prayer. And as is always the case, we do pray that you forgive the sins of the one who teaches, for they are many. We would see Jesus and him only. And it's in Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Have you taken a look at the cross-section of the youth of our world? Do you understand, as functioning adults, the power of image? And when you see images that are disturbing to you, make no mistake about it, they're trying to communicate something to you about what they have concluded or what they are experiencing by way of their determination of what constitutes life. When I was a boy, it was a different array of dress and imagery to communicate to you the fact that they have given up on life. The dress changes and the names of the dress changes, but it's still a stark reality in our culture of a disillusioned youth that are grasping for meaning in a world that has moved in a suasion that says you're going to have to come up with meaning without God, and since they cannot find at least enough meaning to sustain life, they have given up. So they just do things without really thinking, and they can be violent, and they can be horrific, and they can be strange, and we ask ourselves, what in the world's happened? And we don't quite know what to do with it. We're torn between protecting our children from it on the one hand and reaching out with the gospel on the other. But it's a very powerful image in our culture right now, and it is the net result of what you receive when you continue to propagate that you must come up with meaning without a God and that you're some kind of weakling if you don't do so. And then when you get this net result, quite frankly, whatever you have to say about how I can change it doesn't mean a whole lot to me. So I look at them not judgmental. I used to ask God all the mess I went through all those years. How can anything good come out of that? I guess the one thing that's good that came out of it is that I can't look down my long self-righteous snout shaking my heads because people look different than I do. People who are absolutely desperate to find some kind of meaning with their lives. I don't choose to go the judgment route. Actually, I believe if you're in tune with Jesus Christ, you will go the compassion route. Your heart will bleed with what you see. Your heart will be just broken over what's happening all around you, and you might want to look to the Lord to find out what maybe it is you can do. Because you see, what I see around me is nothing more than what I would expect with the godlessness around them and the sinfulness within them. And when it comes to those realities, I don't know of any other way than God's design. I want you to know I am well read on psychology. I am well read on family therapy. I could talk to you until Jesus comes back about all those issues. And what Alan said in the dedication is really true. But every time I look at it, and I'm not saying there's not some helpful things in it, I always come back at the Word of God and I am amazed at what it teaches us, and today is no different. You can read books until you're blue in the face, and I have, but only as you come back to the awesome Word of God and ask God what it is you need to do that you really begin to dial in to what is necessary in raising our children, such as the case today. So what I'm talking about today is not a psychological analysis. It's not family therapy. It's what I claim as a spokesman for God, God's design for parenting. It will include dad and it will include mom. It is very important for everybody, and I hope it's a good enough Mother's Day message that you will be blessed by it. But if you're not, that's okay, because what I have to say is even more important than the day that we're celebrating. I want to talk about God's design for parenting, and it seems to me that if you want to be kingdom parents raising kingdom kids, you need to know a little bit about what God expects, wouldn't you say? So without any further chit-chat or ado, let's dig in and check it out. First of all, as I look at our text of Scripture, I discover that by God's design, children please God with their actions when they obey their parents. By God's design, children please God with their actions when they obey their parents. Look at that first verse. Children, Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, you look at that first word and you see it translated into English, children, and that is the Greek word technon. And you say, well, that's just for little kids. Your sermon is not relevant to me. I got a bunch of rebellious teenagers in my house. Well, mine are coming into it. I'm joining the club. Isn't it fun? Well, you can't get away with that because this is a very broad biblical term. It includes that fact that children please God by obeying their parents, covers an area of child rearing from the toddler to a teenager. As a matter of fact, that comprehensive term covers the time that that child is born to you, like y'all recently, congratulations. And as long as that child, regardless of the age, is under your roof, they are, if they are to please God, you might say, well, it doesn't matter to me if they please God. Or the kids might be here and say, it doesn't matter to me if you please God. Well, whenever it does matter and you want to know how to please God, you will please God by obeying your parents from the time you're a toddler throughout adolescence and into the latter years of teens. That is God's design. And it sounds like a good one to me. How about y'all? Now, I'm going to share a personal... Yeah, there'll be a lot of applause today by half of you. Today, let me tell you this. I'm going to share with you a personal failure by my father to me that he lived to regret and paid for big time. All right? I'm kind of a confessional preacher. They say confession is good for the soul. It might be bad for the character, but I'll take my chances. And it was a mistake he made. And I'm going to try not to emulate it. I'm 2 years away from it now. And I can see the temptation to let go of the control because I don't want to fool with it. Teenagers can be a pain, right? And it's easy to delegate that off. Let's don't fight this battle now. Let's put this off. I don't want to go through this now and all the rest. And in 2 years, mine will be 16. And this happened to me when I was 16. Someone told me that when you get your driver's license, that is your certificate to independence. And that's how kids treat it. I want you to know that my father disciplined me and was over me, but gave up when I was 16. I got very rebellious, started getting defiant, and I can remember the moment, I can remember the phone call when he threw the towel in. And from that point forward is when my life went into a devastating tailspin. Gave up. I'm glad he did that. You said, why? Well, there's some things I needed to learn under the sovereignty of God, and there's some things I needed to remember when I had my own. You say, well, preacher, it's hard. You know, they get angry, and I don't know what's going on. I don't want to have a continuous, contentious relationship with these teenagers. That seems to be the way it is for the most part. And if you have one of those, it's not. Well, God bless you. Don't brag about it, all right? What do you need to do? As far as I know, even when you feel you're losing the battle, and even if you feel you have lost the battle, stay in their face, and whatever you do, don't you ever, ever give up. So that is your responsibility. That is your children's responsibility. Now, children, now remember when I say children, don't get lost in this. I'm talking about toddlers to adolescents, later teens, the whole gamut. Listen to this. They must learn obedience. Let me tell you something that might blow your mind. Did you know that obedience doesn't come natural to your kids? Did you know that's by divine design? See, they are made in such a way, they must learn obedience. And guess who God has delegated authority to teach them obedience? You got it, the parents. They are made to learn. It doesn't come natural. And you are delegated authority from God Himself to what? To teach them to obey their parents. And as they mature and get older, under God's design, He wants you to teach compliant, obedient children, compliant, obedient adolescents, compliant and obedient later teens, so that when they solo, that allegiance they have had to you will be naturally transferred to God, and they will walk surrendered lives to God Almighty. That's God's design. So you're not doing them any favor when you do not make them obey. Now, let me tell you what's in the literature now. I don't take a whole lot in conventional wisdom, but this is in the literature now. This is what the folks are telling preachers like me and teachers like you, what we're facing and what we got to do. See, there was, remember the latch key dilemma, and it's still one, where the parents or the kids are not having any parental leading, teaching, under no parental control. Guess what they're saying we're facing now, and that our curriculum needs to be geared towards this. Now they're saying this trend has gone so long that it's reversed, and the parents are no longer in authority over the children. The children now are in authority over the parents. That is to say, the children are not learning obedience and the parents teaching them, but the parents are learning obedience and the children are teaching you. They will tell you what they'll do, when they'll do it, and how they'll do it. They have options, and they will let you know the option they choose. My, ain't you something? I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of folks in here that I'm speaking to today. You are absolutely giving too many options to your children. You are allowing them to make decisions that you should make before them. Some of you are more concerned of being your children's friend than being their parent. You have issues inside of you of insecurity, and you're so insecure, you're afraid of your children rejecting you, so you will not stand up and be the parent you ought to be. Yes. See, I love it when we can be friends with our kids, and we should want to, and that should be a growing relationship. One of the goals should be that we become adult friends. But you must be a parent first. That is your role. That is your responsibility. God has delegated His authority to you, that you might teach your child how to obey and walk in that obedience. Who's in charge? You or your child? Who decides what and when and how they'll do it? You or your child? You are not doing your children any favors by not giving them clear lines of demarcation as to what will be accepted and what won't be. And that is one of the problems we are now facing. So, by God's design, children please God with their actions when they obey their parents. Secondly, by God's design, children please God with their attitudes when they honor their parents. By God's design, children please God with their attitudes when they honor their parents. Now notice what it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, honor your father and mother. Honor signifies the inward attitude of obedience. Honor is the attitude behind the act. You got me? Whatever the attitude is, that's where the act's coming from. Now, I've got something I'm going to finish on that a little later on, but I want you to think of that right now. You've got to distinguish between that. The honor is signifying the inward reality that will come out in the action. There already should be a hint of where I'm going with that. Should the focus be on the attitude, if that's the case, or the action? I'm going to answer that in a minute. It's not the action. It's the attitude, and that's where the fight is. So we honor them, and this word honor, and go in the Old Testament and read some of this, literally means, kids, you are to revere your parents. Revere them. Hold them in the highest esteem. That's how you honor God. And there's some interesting features about the fifth commandment. It is the first of the second table. It is the only one that comes with a promise. And under God's design, did you know, listen to this, under God's design, your children are to learn how they are to treat other people by how you treat each other within the home. So that when they are sent out in society, they're not an absolute nightmare to everybody around them. They don't treat anybody with respect. They treat everything and everybody like they're a dog. Because they never learned how you are to treat other human beings within the home. And so during that time, those formative years, they are to be trained not only to that allegiance would be transferred to God, but that they would learn how to treat people. And when that has not been the case, then you wonder why everybody is so mean. There is an absolute bulletin on the internet right now of the horror of bullying in school. Bullying in neighborhoods. Bullying in churches. And one of the things I told Ray Connor recently, I said, one thing that we have to have zero tolerance here at Temple Baptist Church are on two fronts, and I think everything will be fit within it. First of all, I think we have a right as a church family to demand you respect the leaders that are over you. We want to reach out to all of broken humanity. And even if you don't have much of a home life, we want to reach out to you because the heartbeat of Temple Baptist Church is reaching out to broken families. But please understand here, and don't take it offensively, that when you come in here, you're going to respect the leaders that are over you. We have zero tolerance for that kind of disrespect. And I think that is something a church ought to expect. Don't let me forget this because it came through a while ago and it came back and I secretly prayed and God just gave it to me about when people come to you to correct your children. All right, let me get to the other one. I'll come back to that. Don't let me forget that. The second pillar. That when kids come to this church and they see all the verbal and physical abuse in their neighborhoods, perhaps in their homes, perhaps in their schools, perhaps in their vocations and everywhere else, the kids that come to this church have a right to know this is one place that is a safe haven where they will be treated respectfully and with kindness and love. And if you don't treat people with that, zero tolerance. Now, you've been put on notice, so don't get mad when it comes your way. Because when my kids are out of line, they come right into my office, just like everybody else, and say, this one did this, that, the other one did the other. And you know what I say? Not my precious ones. No, I says, thank you. Take care of that one, buddy. You won't have that problem again, at least for a while. But you just keep ratting them out. The two of us together will get them straightened out. And let me tell you something. Some of you, it's impossible to say anything negative about your kids. And that is a fatal thing. Fatal. And let me tell you why that's going. You think, and this goes back to a personal security issue, when someone comes to inform you that your kid is out of line, I remembered it, that somehow that is a personal insult against your parental skills. It's not. Or you think that the person that's coming to tell you this assumes they know more about parenting and are more successful at it than you. That's not true either. Most of the time, they are tortured about having to come to you. And quite frankly, they're afraid that you will find out that it went on and they did not come and say anything to you. And they don't want you to come to them then and say, well, why didn't you tell me? And so you can go ahead and count this as an axiom. 99.9% of the time, I know every once in a great while someone was wrong who was in authority over him. But 99.9% of the time, your little darlings did something wrong and they need correction. And don't come up to me after this service today and say, well, you talk about my kids because I don't know of any situations but my own. I told Danielle on the way to work, I said, I did a 50th reunion this weekend, and some folks standing in line said, based on what you said last Wednesday night, I need to tell you something about your daughter. And I got to be honest with you, inside, I went, really? What's that? And Danielle did the same thing when I said that in the car. And I said, they told me they wanted me to pass it on to you, Danielle, because the two of us were riding alone to church this morning. They said that you sat quietly, respectfully, listening to the leaders, and some others were cutting up, and you didn't get involved. And they thought that though folks come to you about when your kids do wrongly, that you ought to hear it when they do right. I'll tell you that illustration, not the one I heard last week, but that's true. So those of you who are over their kids, to encourage and motivate that good behavior, you ought to go tell them, you know, your kids were great. I don't know what's going on, but it's working. Because that's what we're moving towards. And some of you who are acting appropriate, you need to get together and you need to talk to some of these kids who aren't. And let's get them on board. All right? All right? Now, I'm going to have to move quickly. Scripture underscores the importance of the fifth commandment principle. I don't have time to give you the references. You'll just have to trust me. And if you need the references, then you give me an email and I'll send them to you. But it underscores the fifth commandment principle by teaching us that honoring our parents include, listen, obeying them. We're pretty clear on that, right? Secondly, honoring them with our words. Watch your mouth. Do not treat your parents disrespectful with your contemptuous language. Not in tone, and God forbid, cursing. When you address your parents, you address them in the awe and honor that they deserve as parents. And even though they're not perfect, that's what God commands you to do. Another way is respecting them. We've already talked about that. But even with our facial expressions. Here's a good one. You seen it? Attitude. Scripture gets it all. I know you're reading the books, but how about the book? It's in there. Even with the countenance. The whining, the grumbling. Listening to their counsel. Mom, I know that. I know. You ever seen that? They're scared to death. You're going to tell them something they don't know. I can't get three words. I said, I know. I already know all that. Well, do us a favor. Be quiet. And let us get it out. If nothing else, it'll bless us. And not treating them lightly in any sense. I can't imagine a kid mocking their parents or bad-mouthing behind their back. Seems like there'd be such a rich loyalty there or dissing them. Making fun of them, trashing them. I mean, even in my worst rebellion, I can't remember that I would ever go around and do that to my parents, but apparently that's epidemic right now. All right, let me finish this sermon off. Not bad. I think God was with me when I moved to this today. What do y'all think? At least about 3/4 of you. Teenagers not too happy about it, but that's okay. I'd like to be loved and respected, but if I have to one or two, I'll take the respect. Amen? All right. Discipline should focus then on what? The attitudes instead of the action. You look at me and say, well, but attitudes are a thing of the heart. I mean, even Jeremiah says it's desperately deceitful. Who can know it? How can we know what's in their heart? Are you kidding me? Is it really that difficult for you to detect a bad attitude? Let me give you a few hints. Remember the one while ago? That's a cue. You need to work on an attitude. Another clue. Attitude's a little disproportionate to the, you know. All actions come from the attitude. And that means that you will feel like, I tell Maria sometimes, I feel like a swooping eagle. She says, what's that? I said, I feel like I'm on the perch in the home. Kids are disciplined. Okay, good. You're acting right. You're godly. You're contributing to my reputation. After all, that's the most important thing. And, disobedience. Then I get through with this speed. I get back up on my perch. Okay, honey, everything's in line here. And so I feel like the only relationship I have is when I'm disciplining them. And I'm finding that's what it feels like now. But if you focus on the attitude and not the action, you will stay in their face. And you can't give up. And they got to know that you're not going away. And yes, it's going to be hard and it hurts. And I can't wait till it's over, quite frankly. But that's what the calling is now. In their face. I focus on tones. Answer your mother again. Change the tone. You're already going down that road. Sit down. And I know they're going through a lot of changes in their life and so forth. And we sit down and we talk about that for hours sometimes. Some of the things they're struggling with. But I'm going to tell you something. You would be amazed at what will happen in your home when they see the consistency therein, that you mean business. And I would venture to say that if you will risk that and trust security issues with God, that when this thing's over and they will move out, they will look back not only as responsible citizens of the kingdom of God, but they will credit you and rise up and call you blessed. Those who honor their parents tend to live longer and fuller lives than those who are defiant. And that's what the verse means when it says that it may go well with you. And if you're not going to do what I told you this morning, it's not going to go well with you. And that you may enjoy long lying on the earth. This is kind of like proverbial wisdom. I knew a 23-year-old girl that died of cancer that I named my daughter after, Kimberly, who her father said was the perfect child. Where was her long life? Well, in God's sovereignty, sometimes His thoughts are not our thoughts, His ways are not our ways, He makes other decisions. But as a general rule, those who obey their parents tend to live longer, fuller, blessed lives than those who are defiant. So how do I conclude this sermon? Children have to be trained to obey and honor their parents by their parents. Did you hear that? I want to hear an amen after that. That's the place to say an amen, okay? Let me say that one more time. Children have to be trained to obey and honor their parents by their parents. Amen. You know what Scripture calls what I just preached to you this morning? That's how you love your children. That's what it means. To love your children. I want to enter into covenant with you here today. As far as me and my house go, a new day has dawned, beginning now. Throw the gauntlet. Let's go for it. And let the chips fall where they may. Let's stand. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just praise you. That you're in charge and we have delegated authority of which we are responsible ourselves to obey you in. Give us the courage and the tenacity to love our children according to God's design. And all of God's people said, Amen.